This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonslow, and so much time and so little to do. Wait a minute. Strike that. Reverse it. That and more after a word from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. Let Napa Auto Tech's Build-A-Tech program, you know, like Build-A-Bear, help you turn your general technician into a moneymaker for your shop. Make them a profitable member of your team. Go to NapaAutoTech.com for more details. I am jumping all over the place with technical stuff and then going a little bit about neurodivergence. This episode, I want to talk about something I don't know that I've ever actually seen or heard or read in material presented to us as, of course, shop owners and managers, but also even at the technician level or employee level. And that's something called reverse benchmarking. The problem with that, though, is with using that term, reverse benchmarking, is that it kind of has a double meaning. Kind of means two different things. There's the way I originally intended, but I have to acknowledge the other meaning. And don't get me wrong, both of them have everything to do with marketing. The other definition I would say that isn't what I'm really was going to focus on talking about this episode has to do with looking to other industries and professions for ideas. And that's something I think I've demonstrated on this podcast and others that I tend to do a lot of is looking outside of our profession for ideas on not just marketing, but operations, I guess techniques, maybe to a degree, but maybe philosophies, employee retention ideas, stuff like that. I think you see quite a few shops, and we'll pick mainland shops because it's what we do. You're seeing a lot more team building type things than I remember seeing when I was just getting involved. A team building thing was going to a training class together and maybe going out to eat or a Christmas party or something like that. Maybe the shop owner would have a party at their house or at the shop in the summer. That was the team building. But because of the competition, and not just automotive and not just skilled trades, skilled professions, we're having to open up more and more of the possibilities and what we're willing to do to show employees how much we value them, but also make work potentially fun. Look at the software companies. It's not uncommon for them to show up on a nice Friday morning. It's going to be a beautiful day. And the owner or manager or whoever walks out and says, hey, there's a bus waiting outside. We're all going to do something. We're all going to a baseball game. We're all going to the go-kart park. We're all going to this carnival. We're all going to a football game, something like that. We're starting to see more and more shops do that because a lot of it is we have to. Yeah, we have to be thinking that way, or at least considering it. That's one definition of reverse benchmarking. The way I intended to talk about it, different. It's staying within the profession, staying within the industry, going in and doing some reconnaissance on your quote unquote competition and finding out not just what they do good, but specifically what did they do poorly and focusing on that. Now, is that going to work in everybody's location, everyone's demographic? Probably not. What would? I don't know what's the 100% blanket solution to anyone's. The way to increase car counts or average tickets. Like, I don't know if there's any just one thing that everyone anywhere can just employ and boom, realize huge gains. But as an example, as an independent repair shop, maybe incognito, you take your vehicle to the dealership and you pay attention to every detail of your customer experience and you find out that the waiting room chairs, like the waiting room is big and it's got a TV and they're running Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or ESPN. And maybe while you're sitting there, you don't mind that, but you can tell some of the other clients are not so happy about what's on the television. That would be a clue. If you have a television in your waiting room or waiting area, maybe you don't have that type of stuff up. Try to put something else on that maybe everyone could get into, like Joy of Painting. Better have really comfy chairs because people are going to conk out. Just kidding. You would change what you have or make it a little more democratic about what's up and people figuring out, playing to the audience a little bit, right? Or maybe the seats themselves, like the waiting room chairs, couches, whatever they have, are very sterile, very dentist office stuff or whatever, where it's maybe they're leather, fake leather, but they're not very comfortable. And some of those jobs, people are sitting there for an hour. Maybe you go back to your waiting room and look around and go like, geez, we picked up these chairs at a office type of a warehouse or store, retailer. And maybe it's kind of one of them overstock type things. And you grab them because they're all the same color, which is cool. And they're probably built to last. But you know what? Sitting in them for an hour, geez, you would never do it. And maybe because of that, you notice now your customers don't sit a lot. They pace because the chairs are so uncomfortable. So now you're thinking like, what could I do to upgrade? What kind of a seating could I have? Maybe this choice of snacks are all just junk food. I hesitate to say horrible for you because I don't know if there's too many packaged, prepackaged foods that are going to be so effing healthy, but lack of options. The Keurig, maybe they do have a Keurig, but there's only one or two choices and drinks. And they have the bottled water, but maybe the bottled water is, of course, in plastic bottles. And people are now showing a more hesitant to use plastic or drink anything out of a plastic due to microplastics. So you need to think about some sort of a dispenser, reverse osmosis, water chiller, and a filter system feeding a chiller to have large quantities of very cold water, not just for the clients, but maybe for the employees as well. This is the type of thing I'm thinking of, as well as your other competition, maybe the non-dealership type of competition. Maybe you have a specialist nearby. So I'm thinking if I'm going to set up a new shop in New Brighton, Minnesota, how reasonable would it be for me to want to set up a shop that's a European specialist? Okay, so those that you don't know, or those of you not familiar, Seth Thorson has one of his shops in New Brighton. He's been there for decades. He's already got the setup. He's got the technicians. He's got the systems in place for European and maybe even more so higher end European vehicles. So what is the logic of me setting up a shop there and trying to beat him at his own game? What if I pay some money or do some legwork and find out that there is a rather large concentration of Korean and Japanese vehicles around? And sure, a lot of shops probably don't shy too far away from Toyota, Honda, but maybe Nissan and then Hyundai, Kia, Genesis. There's a large number of those vehicles there and nobody really specializes in them. So what if I decide I'm going to do Hyundai, Kia, Genesis, Nissan, Subaru? And then I suppose, I mean, Toyota, Honda, because the cost of entry isn't that much. And maybe the shops that are working on those vehicles don't go so far as to doing programming. They don't go as far as doing a mobilizer. So now I have essentially a Seth type of a system, essentially a Eurotech automotive, yet it's for Asian vehicles. And now I have a market kind of to my own. That would be the logic of that. That's kind of, I'm not saying Seth even, they do a poor job on those vehicles. They just don't work on them. So boom, not a competitor.
NAPA AutoTech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA AutoTech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. AutoTech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Autotech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Autotech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Autotech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Autotech Training. Who else do I got to compete with? Are they specialists? Can I hire techs that are either specialists on those car lines from a dealer, quick studies? And next thing you know, I can kind of dominate a market because I'm focusing on stuff that people don't do well. And that might be part of a strategy with Riverside, the shop I work at, that, don't get me wrong, I think geography plays a huge role in what we do and how we can do it. But also doing the things that nobody else either wants to do or can do. It gives you almost a trapped market. That would be reverse benchmark. Finding out what your competition doesn't do so well. And it doesn't have to be diagnostics. It could be big jobs, engines, transmissions, timing chains, stuff like that, where they don't handle that stuff that well, or driveline. I mean, sky's the limit. We can just sit here and rattle off examples. Or if you can sneak in, if they don't know who you are, or you can get people you trust to bring their vehicles to this competition and find out, like, it's a zoo. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know when they were going to look at my car. I didn't know when they called. They didn't explain what was wrong very well. Or maybe they did a really good job of all that, but this, but that, or who knows? Again, the waiting room, the restroom, the lighting, the outdoor lighting. I picked up my car at night and it was so dark. I would have never sent my wife down there to do that. I would have never sent my kid down there to pick up the car. Stuff like that. And now you're doing things that they don't do so well. That's reverse benchmarking. And I don't know that I've ever really heard anyone do much of a presentation on that. And I think that it's a very, very reasonable strategy. If we take this down to the technician level, or up to the technician level, however you want to think about it. If you're working in a shop that's got like an established, we'll just say mechanical specialist, that they rock at that, taking it apart, putting it back together really fast. And there's not really enough work to have two people just cranking out, depending on the shop itself, right? That maybe seems like an almost absurd statement in a certain size shop in a certain location. It probably is an absolutely absurd statement, but not all shops are the same. What if this is more like a three-bay shop? You're the second tech. Are you going to be the R&R guy? Maybe you want to be, but they already got one. Are you going to try to beat them at their own game? And is it worth the effort? Maybe it is. But what if you fill in the gaps? What if you go, well, they're extremely good at that. There's this other stuff that needs to be done, the troubleshooting. And I don't mean just diagnostics, electrical. Definitely that falls into that. But I mean, so many things you have to figure out what's wrong. If you end up filling that role, you're kind of the setup man or setup person for the R&R person, the R&R tech, the mechanical specialist, where now you're keeping them busy because you're figuring out
It needs this. It needs that. So in a way, you're reverse benchmarking your own shop or the back of house. There's already an established technology specialist. There's the chances of taking over for them and bumping them out of that role is negligible. And you have to be honest, maybe they're not very good at it and you could, but what if they really are quite good and you should try to learn from them? I'm not saying you limit yourself. I'm not saying you just ignore that. But if you start focusing your energies on really see a need, fill a need, you become invaluable. You become an extremely important cog to that wheel. You're doing things the others don't do well or don't want to do. And that becomes a very important role. Gives you an extremely strong position for negotiation as well, right? Not saying abusing power. I don't even want to get into that. People, when we get power in our hands, they start to, power corrupts, right? Start leveraging it a little too much. Well, guess what? The pendulum always seems to swing back the other way. Don't matter which side of the pendulum you're on. I think we got to be careful how we leverage things. And that's both sides. So yeah, I think there's a lot to that. It's reverse benchmarking. It's paying attention to what the competition or even what your colleagues do not do well and working to become quite good at that. It's nothing new. It's been around a long time. I think it's taught outside of automotive. So I guess I'm technically reverse benchmarking the first definition I told you about with reverse benchmarking. But yeah, that would be that's my suggestion. Regardless of your position in the company, is trying to open your eyes to see what people do really well or what other competition does really well or even outside of the industry. But then also paying really keen attention to what they don't do well. And what could you capitalize on? What could you do? What could you add? What could you change to separate yourself from the pack? And I think that's where the prize is. That's where you can really, when it comes down to it, number of cars and average ticket. That's what we work to do to make more money. So with that, I'll call it. Just thank you for listening and thank you to NAPA Auto Tech Training for sponsoring. Thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network for making this all possible. And just have to mention, the Aftermarket Radio Network is more than just Carm and myself. There's also this Craig character. I don't know if anyone really knows him other than he's Sean O'Neill's brother. That's probably his biggest claim to fame. If you've ever met Sean, great guy. So I guess being Sean's brother wouldn't be such a bad deal. I'm just kidding. I love Craig and I love his podcast. It's called Speak Up. Craig should learn to listen up. I'm just kidding. Great guy, great podcast. You also have the Weekly Blitz with Chris Cotton. You have the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker. Excellent podcast. And then really Business by the Numbers. You know, it's a podcast done by all things freaking CPA. So I guess that makes sense. Hunt Demarest. It's a really good listen. It doesn't matter if you own or manage a shop. That is a great podcast to listen to. He just dumps tons of information on you. It's a great listen. I kid you not. I'd like to make more fun of him, but it's just that good. So with that, if you have any ideas for future podcasts or you'd like to be on, don't hesitate to shoot me an email at mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.